Our first reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, a wonderful story from 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. If you'd like to follow along, you'll find it in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, on page 320. Hear these words. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see now, he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be made clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said was to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So Naaman went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the first letter to the Corinthians. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 161 of the New Testament. Hear now the words of the Apostle Paul. "Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our final reading, the gospel reading, comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. On page 33 of the New Testament. A leper came to Jesus, begging him and kneeling. He said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But the leper went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Melba and I are team preaching today, so I'm going to offer that she would come down. She gets to speak in just a minute. Thanks, Melba. You know, we've been talking about stewardship throughout the month of February. And stewardship is such a weighty topic that you could go on literally for weeks. But I want to return to something that I said 2 weeks ago, because I think it has real bearing on this morning's message as well. And that is that in our secular world, the currency that we use is money. But on the other hand, in God's kingdom, the currency is love. And so as Christian people, we are destined to walk through this life trying to live and work in both worlds at once, in the secular world, but also to look toward the kingdom of God. And Jesus often said that he was of this world, he was in this world, but not of this world. And that's, for us, a difficult task. And so we are called to use both money and love to try to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Well, that's the theology of stewardship. But we also need to think about and to discuss the mechanics of what we do. And that's the point of the cover of the bulletin, the nuts and bolts of stewardship. It's kind of interesting. I asked Paya why I put that on, and she wasn't sure. Paya is a Tongan, and apparently that's not an obvious metaphor in Tonga. So nuts and bolts is the nitty-gritty, the details of stewardship. And what I'd like to do with you briefly this morning is to think about not just money, but to think about the other ways that God calls us into stewardship. Because the Bible is fairly clear, in fact it's crystal clear, that our place is to try to tithe to God. That our goal is to offer back to God 10% of all that we have, but also all that we are. We are asked to offer back to God what it is we are and what it is we have. And the first point about that is always money. Jesus spoke about money all throughout the New Testament, and God speaks about it throughout the Hebrew Bible as well. But there are specific ways to think about money, and I turn to our lay leader Melba Taylor to tell us about three different ways of thinking about money. She's getting undressed. That's a good sign.
I just want to tell you about three pockets of giving that each of us has. Let me just show you my pocket. Then I'll explain them at the microphone.
Do you want to hand them?
And this first pocket is our earned income pocket. That's the pocket that holds our paychecks, our retirement checks, and that comes in on a regular basis. That's the pocket that we make decisions about what we're going to spend on groceries or clothes, or that's the pocket we should tithe from. It's on a regular basis. We also may decide to give special projects or give memorials to honor persons we care about from this pocket. We have a second pocket that is our capital pocket. The capital pocket holds things that are accumulated resources, such as stocks and bonds and life insurance policies, savings accounts, inheritances we may have received and put away. We don't look into this pocket to go to the movies or buy groceries or give to the church each week. These resources were set aside for other purposes. For example, you might have set aside funds for children's education at some point, but did you use it all up? Sometimes these purposes change and these assets aren't fully utilized, and they may be just sitting there. Or you might have life insurance policies, and now that your children are grown and your house is paid for, they aren't necessary, or the purpose can change. These are the resources that we're going to be held accountable for because they have been entrusted to our care. This is the pocket that might provide ways to build God's kingdom through Burns Church on a one-time special basis. Usually these are funds that can be given in a larger amount that contribute to a capital campaign. And just ask Pastor Will about plans for the future that need somebody just to simply fund them. Our third pocket is our estate pocket. This pocket represents what we will be able to, what we will have available to give after we leave this earth. Everything that's left over in the earned income pocket or in the capital pocket will be moved over into that pocket. Most of us will be richer then than we've ever been in our life. We will not need these assets anymore, and we will not be able to take them with us. However, we are still responsible for them. God gave us all those treasures, and as his stewards, we are responsible to determine their disposal. The question that must be asked of this pocket, as well as the other two pockets, is, Lord, what do you want me to do with what you have given me? Everyone has a will. The issue is whether we write our own or let a court write it for us. If we fail to write one, then we die without a plan. And that's just like burying God's money in the ground. God does not give us all that we have for someone else to determine its best use. He expects us to decide on that. A very simple thing that everyone could do is to put one sentence in our will that says, after all my bills are paid, I want 10% of my estate, a tithe, to go to Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. And then these funds would be invested in our Burns Endowment Fund and provide for the work of this church indefinitely. Just for your information, our endowment funds have provided our sound system, the piano, and I call it a synthesizer. I'm not sure that's the right term. Landscaping and grounds maintenance, scholarships for 9 young people, roof repair, and the mortgage payment for this building. Thanks to the generosity and foresight of persons who wanted to see God's kingdom advance through this church after they were gone. Stewardship is not just money. Stewardship is a way of life. And it begins with the acceptance that God is the owner of everything, and I'm the steward. A steward is someone who cares for my owner's assets. God has all the rights to my life. I have the responsibility to care for what he has given. Money is a tool, a test of my faith, and a testimony. Interestingly enough, we also have a time bank. Each day, God deposits 24 hours or 1,440 minutes, or 86,400 seconds in our time bank. At the end of the day, he clears out the account. We can never live that over, so we're responsible for using our time bank wisely, too. and what talent we have. I don't have a strong voice, but my voice adds to the choir and helps it to make the music that may touch somebody's heart. I am a tither, and I also have named Burns Church in my will. And I am happy with that song that we just sang, because I hope that someday God will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Melba. I want to go back real briefly to what Melba said about the three kinds of pockets, the three areas that we get our money. That can be confusing, but I know that you are all around those kinds of things in your regular lives as well. Part of what we're asking is that you consider those same financial elements to be part of what we do at church. They can be confusing, but they need not be. And I think in this case, as in so many other cases, education is the key. And the stewardship committee has been talking about it for weeks now and have some good ideas about how that might be an educational opportunity. As you may well know, there's several reputable and well-known companies that can actually come into churches and offer courses in how to spend and invest money in a Christian manner. If there's enough interest in that among all of us, we can invest the time and the money required to have that company come to the church and offer us those courses. Now, this is not a course for folks who are having difficulty financially. This is not something that we should feel bad about. Oh, I'm going to go to the church's course because I'm doing terribly. That's not the point. We can all learn some new tidbits, some new ideas about how to handle our money. And if that becomes a reality, this would be a terrific way to look at our finances in total. And as Melba mentioned, how you approach your life with your finances as well. The other chance, when Melba talks about the estate pocket, there is an opportunity to have the Rocky Mountain United Methodist Foundation, who are the folks who handle our endowments, they can come to our church for free of charge and offer us seminars in estate planning. They bring the forms and the know-how, and really it's very, very easy if you fill out the right paperwork to move those assets to the church, either in the second pocket or in the estate pocket. So that's another opportunity. And finally, there's a chance from Aurora Chase, the funeral home that's over here very near to us. They have a program that brings a short seminar on how to do funeral pre-planning, how to set up the details before you die so that we can honor those at your passing. May not be the most comfortable thing to talk about, but just as Melba mentioned, we're in charge of pre-planning and planning through all the gifts that God has given us. So that would be another way. Those three course opportunities are ways that we can learn about giving back to the church. Now, the final thing that I want to talk to you about is the packet that you have. I hope that everybody got one of these. If you didn't, as I mentioned earlier, I hope that you will get it before you leave. There's several pages in there. First of all is a letter from me asking for your tithe, making a plea that you prayerfully consider giving back 10% of all you have and all you are to our church. On the back side of that, we talked 2 weeks ago about my vision for the church, and that's on the back side of that page as well. Also in that packet is one page that has two sides. The first side is the goals that we have for 2009, and the other side is the missional budget, the way the trustees and the coordinating council and all the other groups in this church have come up with a plan about how to spend your money wisely. So that's in there as well. The final thing in your packet is what I'm calling a stewardship planning worksheet. And just as Melba mentioned, if you look at that worksheet, it has a way to figure out monetarily what you might give to the church, but also how you might invest your time, your energy, and your prayers. And just as Melba mentioned that she is a tither, I filled out the sheet for me so that you can see that I'm doing my best. I want you to know how much I give to the church and the kind of time that I invest in trying to make disciples of Jesus Christ. The final thing in your packet is the ubiquitous pledge card. And the goal of a pledge card is that you have some way to commit to God and to your church what you're planning to give, partially monetarily, but also the other. In fact, if you want to hand in this stewardship planning worksheet, that'd be great too. But either way you work it, we'd ask you to bring one of these items back next Sunday. Because next Sunday is Commitment Sunday, when we ask you to make a commitment to God. It also is Transfiguration Sunday, which commemorates a very important point, a turning point in the life of Jesus Christ. On that day, next Sunday, there'll be a time in our liturgy when I will ask you to bring your pledge card up and we'll offer it to the table of the Lord. And at that time, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. If you'd rather not come up, you can put it in the collection plate. Or if you'd rather, you can mail it to the church. But we'd ask you to do that before the end of February so that we have a way to plan wisely how we can best use the resources of our entire church. God has called us in this life to walk the line between the secular world and God's kingdom. Part of our day is spent in the secular world. Part of our day, I pray, is spent in God's kingdom, and we walk that path through our lives. And we are asked then to spend the currency of money and also to invest the currency of love. And what I'm asking you this week is that you spend 10 or 15 minutes to read through the materials that the leadership has provided for you and to pray to our Lord to give you discernment about how you might return back to God 10% of all you have and all you are to the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer through your church. Amen.